Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanige. My guests today are Brendan Hegan and Tom Benke. Brendan is the founder and CEO of Boxzuka, which is an e-commerce fulfillment technology company. And Tom is the senior vice president of sales and marketing and advisor. Both of you guys, I'm told, have a lot of experience in the logistics business. So I'm glad to talk to you today. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. All right. What we wanted to talk about were the developments that have occurred in the aftermath of the Baltimore bridge collapse and what that's meant for the region. I do want to first hear about Boxzuka and a little bit about the company. Either one of you can tell me a little bit about what our viewers need to know about Boxzuka and where it's been and where it's going. Brendan, why don't you start?
All right.
Since you're the founder.
I started the company about 10 years ago this year. Had an extensive background in parcel transportation and fulfillment. And when I embarked on this journey, I wanted to replicate. I had the opportunity to be in a lot of fulfillment providers walls over my career, and I wanted to replicate everything I saw really good out there and fill in the gaps and on everything really poorly done out there. And it was a lot. And that's what we set out to do. And I think that's exactly what we did here. We did it primarily through probably three areas of focus. And one is on our client success and just being the best partners we possibly can, and having extremely high coverage of client success managers, which we call our customer service people here, as a true extensions of our brand's business, real advocates for the business, and really flexible and proprietary and very flexible and nimble IT. We run on our own platform, and we have metrics driven operations that just totally excel every day for our clients and what we should be doing for them.
Okay. And Tom, before we started, you were talking to me a little bit about your background and how you became then involved in the company. Can you just share that with us?
Yeah, happy to. And thanks for having us. So been in e-commerce fulfillment most of my career, and it's really been a great business and a great marketplace. You know, e-commerce has been so consistently growing over the years, right? It's somewhere between, 12 and 15% per year, recession proof. And look at what happened during the lockdowns, right? People depended on e-commerce even more, and everybody got creative even about having online meetings versus going into the office. Well, e-commerce has been a beautiful playground for all of those activities, but it's also really important. It's a major part of the economy generally. And Boxzuka fills a nice role in filling for custom brands, for high touch brands, brands that are maybe looking to differentiate a little bit and have high-end service. That's where Boxzuka plays. And we also have fun. We've built a great company, good culture. Brendan started it trying to build something that is the best, and we're committed to that. So not trying to be the biggest, but trying to fulfill for our clients' needs every day. And it's going great.
Okay. Well, e-commerce certainly a big part of New Jersey's economy. Especially, as you say, even before the pandemic, it was a growing area, and that just the pandemic just sort of kicked it into high gear. I should have mentioned at the top that Boxzuka was founded in Secaucus, so there's the New Jersey connection. Okay, so let's talk about the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. A lot of the folks around here are sort of have been through a lot of supply chain disruptions and logistics disruptions over the years. Where does this one rate for a disruption weary region? How does this rate in terms of, the pandemic, war in Europe, all the other things that have happened that have caused a lot of tsuris for those of us here in this region?
I don't want to discount the pain that it places on Baltimore, which is my hometown, by the way. I don't want to discount at all the gravity of the situation locally with traffic and the lives that were lost and just the disruption that it causes in our community there. But from a port perspective and such, on a scale from 1 to 10, the Red Sea being a 7 or an 8 or something, I would put this at like a 3.
Oh, okay. All right. So, and again, and that was the next question I was going to ask. I think that this, obviously, for Baltimore, this is a major occurrence. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For the city, for the Bottom Report, yes, it's a major
Okay.
occurrence.
All right.
But we're blessed on the East Coast with having half a dozen other ports that are within a short sail of Baltimore, and the ability to divert a lot of the freight at minimal cost to the carriers and the clients of the carriers, the people who own the, or who are renting those containers. That those costs are minimal. But to the Baltimore community, it's horrible.
Okay. Now, how does that work? That you say, well, it's easy for them to, or they can be rerouted. These shipments can be diverted. Is that how difficult is that to accomplish? I mean, if something is headed to Baltimore and suddenly it can't go to Baltimore, can it just as easily come to, say, the port of New York and New Jersey or someplace else?
Yeah, it's good, but it's going to come at a higher cost and a longer wait time.
Okay.
But New Jersey and Norfolk the other ports that are in the air, Charleston, they can take the additional volume in while this is happening. It's not like the ships have need to stay out there anchored for weeks or whatever it is it's going to take to have the tunnel cleared out. But all of that's is going to come at a higher cost and a longer lead time until service is restored.
Okay. Now I read that a lot of what goes through Baltimore are cars, new cars. That it's one of the bigger ports for importing cars. Has that been the biggest disruption, the industry that's felt the biggest disruption, or are there others that are also feeling it?
As I understand it, it is mostly cars. I have
Okay.
a personal friend who has a bird seed sterilization business in Baltimore, and they lost all their business for a temporary period of time, and all that sterilization is going to other cities that have that same type of equipment set up, and there's apparently very few that have that.
Okay.
So I think there's some niche some other industries that are totally affected by it. And from a car perspective, I mean, you just might see an extra $300 or whatever on a sticker price or something. It's all going to get passed to the consumers.
Okay. Well,
I
that's
think the
unfortunate, but
ports
I
re
guess I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. The port, it's referred to roll on, roll off, right? So those containers that have cars, they roll them on, roll them off, and it's trucks. And Baltimore's one of the biggest for that type of receiving. And the port's going to be open here shortly. It's days, I think, until the channel's
Okay.
clear. And one section of the port for roll on, roll off is actually outside the bridge. So that wasn't as disruptive, but it is disrupted. Now, the New Jersey and the Port of New York has that capability too. So it's a little bit of a capacity deal so that it wasn't too under capacity, if you will. But think of all the local workers, on those docks who are doing that, who can't, have nothing to do right now. And
Right.
as Brendan brought up in his example too, so I think this there's the local effect should not be underscored, and also the traffic pattern there across that bridge, which is hundreds of thousands of people every day and trucks every day
Right.
that now have to be rerouted. So additional costs there, additional logistics there, additional everything, disruption wise, and that's going to be for a year or two, right? The port might be open here in
Right.
weeks. The bridge, that's going to be a while.
Yeah, and just how important was the bridge to the port? I mean, is because I know what the traffic patterns are like, for example, around the Port of New York and New Jersey, and there I know where certain if there were a problem with a bridge or some other highway, was that bridge also important to the port? Did trucks and container trucks and all that use that bridge?
Well, yeah. So
Okay.
that bridge connects the beltway.
Right.
There's a lot of major cities have a circle highway around it, and the beltway is not connected anymore. It's
Okay.
unbuckled, and there's going to be massive disruption locally for years.
Okay. Now, is there anything that e-commerce companies or retailers or anybody that's affected by the whatever, even if it's a relatively minor disruption, the disruption, is there something that they should be doing, could be doing now to mitigate those effects? Or is it just a matter of paying the extra costs that it's going to take, or and just waiting for your stuff to arrive?
I think the latter is really where
Okay.
it's at.
Okay. It's now In the wake of the pandemic and the war in Europe and all of the other disruptions, there was a lot of debate about how to avoid these kinds of things in the future. And there was some movement, I'm not sure how much movement, in that direction to try to do things to onshore production of various products. Has any of that helped at all in mitigating this disruption that you know of?
I don't think that we've seen the effects of really too much onshoring, in the last, 3.5 years. It really, I mean, that's we're still a long way from being able. A lot of policy needs to change internationally with regard to tariffs, and
Right.
we have an import de minimis value of $800 in the United States that anybody can ship in duty and tax free up to that dollar amount, and that needs to be changed. And we as consumers need to start paying proper duty and tax on imports, and then it needs to be made less cost effective to be outsourcing everything possible.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Now, and aside from, say, making bridges better or not having big ships run into them, is there anything that policymakers should be doing in the wake of this accident to again to try to forestall the kinds of disruptions that you're talking about? Or is it just a continuation of what folks have been trying to do again since 2020?
Maybe if I might, Brendan, when something like this happens, it calls attention to how much traffic goes unnoticed. For instance, the railway chemical spill in southern Ohio, right? People take railways for granted all the time. Pipeline incidents, we take them for granted. How many pilots are piloting big container ships into every major port around the world right now? And the chances of things going wrong, it's surprising there aren't more incidents. But you do remember them. We'll remember Baltimore, remember the ship that got sideways in the Suez Canal.
Right.
So to me, it just calls attention to it. Policymakers making changes about it, boy, that sounds like a process that I would
It
be
is.
skeptical about great results from that. Now, the terrorism things that are going on, that's a little bit of a different story, right? I mean, those are pretty serious issues involving national security issues for those countries, for our products, for hundreds of countries. So that's pretty serious, and policy issues there do tend to have a direct effect rather quickly too.
Okay. Now, this may be too speculative for you, but I think that a lot of folks around here wondered what the effect would be on the port here if something similar to this happened. You said this was a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10. If there were a major disruption in the port of New York and New Jersey, I'm guessing that the effect on at least the region economy would be much, much greater than this one, yes?
I think it's fair to say the volume and coming in New York, New Jersey is so much greater. Ports like Baltimore and Norfolk, I don't think they could absorb all that as effectively as the flip-flop. So it would be fair to say it'd be greater.
Okay. Well, and then it would behoove the Port Authority and the other agencies with management responsibilities to see that this doesn't happen. Is there anything else that you can think of that we haven't talked about? Is there's some issue that I haven't raised with you folks that again, retailers, e-commerce people, the people you know and deal with, is there anything that they should know about what's going on now?
With regard specifically to Baltimore, or
Yeah.
about the rest of the world, or
Either Baltimore or the rest of the world. Just, again, I have some e-commerce and logistic experts here. I'm curious as to what you think people need to know about right now. Because every time I talk to business owners and corporate executives, I ask them what their big challenges are. Supply chain comes up almost immediately. So it's either 1, 2, or 3, depending on what they're dealing with. It's either inflation or economic uncertainty or supply chain disruption. So is there is how is the what is the overall sense you have now for the way the system is working, and particularly in this region?
Well, as Tom said before, it's amazing that more instances don't happen. There's a lot of traffic all around all these ports. I think that the the folks should out there should just know to plan better.
Plan better. Okay.
And
That's a
maybe
good
I'll,
place. Go ahead.
if I can build on that, if you don't mind,
Sure.
Jeffrey. A couple things. Isn't it amazing how the world has really gotten smaller, right? And that sometimes when you buy something online, you don't even realize that it's going to get on an airplane from Hong Kong to LA and then got on a truck and come to your door within 4 days. So this is an amazing world we live in, and supply chain is complicated. There's lots of options, and people have to get smarter. You know, we're data driven as in e-commerce, and that's part of what I think the you know, the growth in this industry has led to investment across all different sorts of
Yep,
areas here.
that's right.
And when I think about AI coming along and machine learning coming along and some of the possibilities here for our future, e-commerce is going to continue to expand. Global options are going to continue to be there, and everyday Americans starting businesses are going to have options they never dreamt of 10 years ago to support their businesses.
Okay. And obviously consumers have gotten used to not leaving their home and having something show up either the next day or shortly thereafter. So these kinds of
Pretty
disruptions
easy.
are gonna be felt at some point.
We'll pivot.
Sure.
Okay. Brendan Hegan and Tom Behnke of Boxuka, thank you very much for joining me. I really appreciate you taking the time and sharing your expertise today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.